Good morning, everybody. How are you? Nice to see you. Amanda and I were away on our anniversary last weekend, so we missed you. And I hope I can speak for Amanda. I did miss them, and I missed the worship, you know. And we love to be able to get away with just the two of us. But, you know, when you have difficult weeks and tough things happen, and I think a lot of you have experienced that this last week, can you imagine not being able to come together on Sunday, the first day of the week, with brothers and sisters that you love and be able to worship God? You know, think about your last week that you've had and imagine not going to church on Sunday, not being able to be filled by God after all that. I had a difficult week this last week, too. On Monday, you know, it was kind of stormy, and there was a lot of stuff on the roads, and so I was going over the mountain. I was like, okay, Lord, yeah, the weather's bad up here, but life with you is always an adventure. And about that time, I ran over this branch, and it broke the serpentine belt in my car, and then the car overheated. So I'm like, okay, Lord, this is the adventure you were talking about, right? So I had to have be towed, and I was hour late for work, and that's hard when you're the only provider there, so nothing happens until you get there. And so $1,000 later, I've got my Jeep back, so it was a hard week. You've experienced that too. Even the weather has just been kind of difficult. And so to come here, to be able to worship is amazing. It's wonderful, isn't it? This is all part of that spiritual war, that spiritual battle that you've been hearing about for a long time. And we go through that. And imagine doing that without this. That's the thing I want you to understand. And that's not even the sermon. But we are going to talk a little bit more about the spiritual battle. And I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the weapons that we have. And it kind of came out of the gospel for today, Matthew 22. And, you know, Jesus replies to that Pharisee, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest commandments. Jesus just said so, okay? These are important. And I know that you've heard them many times before. We say it often as an invitation to the confession of sin here, right? Because you're supposed to remember to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you haven't, you can confess that when you are up here. So I know that you hear this a lot, but it's very important. This is key in the spiritual battle. That's what I'm going to tell you, okay? Loving God and loving others, okay? Talking about things like forgiveness, which you heard about in the last few weeks, and mercy. And God has been speaking to me about this recently. And maybe it's because I have to spend a lot of time in the car, 2 hours a day at least. But once again, and I'm sorry about this, but this is something that just keeps coming back as one of my problems, you understand? And so you all have to suffer for that, you see. But one of my biggest issues is with other drivers. And I know, I've talked to you about this before. I've been really trying to look at other people and bless them and say, God, these are your people, Lord. And, you know, I know you love them. And, you know, it's just something. But sometimes just seeing the risk people take, you know, it just makes me angry. And last week I saw that one of those things and I thought, God, these people don't deserve your love. And he said right back, that's right. But I love them anyway. You don't deserve my love either. But I love you. And that's what mercy is. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord. He started making me think, obviously, as he's want to do sometimes. And this started leading me into this thing that relates to this spiritual battle that we're talking about. This is one of our tools that we have. And it's this thing called mercy. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. You know, oftentimes we're okay with loving people who do the right things, who act the right way, who drive the right way, you know, who fit in with our beliefs or our ideas. It's easy to love them, isn't it? But what about the person who doesn't do the right things or the one who believes different things than us? Now, that's where the forgiveness has to come in. That's where mercy comes in, okay? Now, I ought to know something about Mercy. I work for the Sisters of Mercy, right? Sisters of Mercy Urgent Care. And you know, they so tend to focus on Mercy, I guess you'd say, you know? In fact, they're changing their name now. It's called Mercy Urgent Care. Don't ask me why, but I guess it's just easier to say. So, but that's it. And, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church, 2015 was the Jubilee Year of Mercy that they went through. And Sister Maria would come by and say, "Oh, you know, practicing mercy, thank you for doing your job." And Pope Smith will look at her like, okay. You know, this idea of mercy doesn't really seem to ring with us in the way that I think that it should, okay? We're supposed to practice mercy every day in our lives. So what is it? You know, because you can say, "Oh, well, you know, I know about it. I've got somebody, you know, on the end of my gun and I don't shoot them. That's mercy, right?" Well, okay. But there are other things. You know, I showed them mercy, okay? But they're different. So we do have a new nun now at the urgent care instead. Sister Maria has retired to Belmont Abbey, and now Sister Peggy Verstege is taking her place. And this a couple weeks ago, you know, as one of those reminders that we're talking about, she gave each of us a framed picture, and it now sits on my desk at work. So I see this every day, and Daniel's going to put it up here in just a second.
A very dark picture.
Yes. There, when you turn on the lights, here's what you see.
It's on one side.
There we go. So it's a little hard to read, and I'll try and do that, or do something for you. Down at the bottom, on the red side, you see it says, "The spiritual works of mercy." And on the other side, it says, "The corporal works of mercy." Okay? At the top on the red side, it says, "Happy are the merciful, mercy will be theirs." And on the other side, scripture, it says, "Whatever you do for the least of my people, you do for me." Okay? So, these are, well, this is what sits there every day, and I see this. So, it's kind of one of those things to make you think about mercy. All right. The spiritual works of mercy there, it says, "Bear wrongs patiently, forgive all injuries, counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner, comfort the sorrowful, instruct the ignorant, pray for the living and the dead." You know, Catholics are really good at making up lists. I mean, they really are. You know, the seven deadly sins, right? Those are the seven sacraments of the church. Here you have the seven spiritual works of mercy and the seven corporal works of mercy. A lot of sevens in there, isn't there? And, you know, these things are useful for us, okay? The corporal works of mercy, of course, as you see on that side, I'm not going to talk about as much. These are the acts of mercy that you do for the body, for somebody's physical nature, for them to help them out, okay? The spiritual works, though, I'm going to talk about a little bit more, are for the soul. And as I would put to you, they're really at the heart of mercy, and it's really the first two on the red side that I'm going to talk about and kind of concentrate on. And they bring us directly back to the greatest commandment, what you just heard today in the gospel: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Now, if we want to try and understand this a little bit more, because I don't think you understand mercy yet, we go to the Catholic Encyclopedia. Okay? So, because I wanted to understand, where did these things come from? Well, it didn't really tell me a whole lot about that, but I'll kind of share with you just a little bit about what it said. It said this: "It will be seen from these divisions that the works of mercy practically coincide with the various forms of almsgiving. The word alms is a derivation of the word mercy. There are easily recognizable limitations within the precept which undergoes in the practice so far as the performance of the corporal works of mercy are concerned. These are treated in the article on alms and almsgiving. Likewise, the law imposing spiritual works of mercy is subject to individual instances, to important reservations, blah, 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 blah."
Doesn't this make you want to go to seminary?
"It must not be forgotten that the works of mercy demand more than a humanitarian basis if they are to serve as instruments in bringing about our eternal salvation. The proper motive is indispensable, and this must be one drawn from the supernatural order." I'm kind of glassed over your eyes. You get glassy all of a sudden.
What you were saying is Paul was Roman Catholic.
Sounds very academic, doesn't it? You know, do you understand mercy by hearing that? Well, I didn't by reading it either. So But, you know, here's one of the things that you catch at the end of that. It talks about the instruments in bringing about our eternal salvation. It's almost as if they're trying to say that giving alms can be your work of mercy. You know, well, and maybe that's true. I mean, there are times when giving money to a certain group or a charity or something like that, say to keep the soup kitchen open, allows people to be fed and encouraged. The corporal work of mercy, okay? Yes, almsgiving is one of those things, true. But it also sounds, if you keep on listening to this, that if you perform the acts of mercy, you'll get your eternal salvation, as if you were working for it. Do you see what I mean? It says, I'll read it for you again. It says, it must not be forgotten that the works of mercy demand more than a humanitarian basis if they are to serve as instruments in bringing about our eternal salvation. As if you were trying to earn it. Doesn't sound right to me. I don't like that. It does say this, the proper motive is indispensable, and this must be one drawn from the supernatural order. Now, they're almost starting to get a little closer here, because what they're really trying to say, and doing a very bad job of it, is that you need the Holy Spirit. Ah, okay. You need the Holy Spirit in order to love somebody who doesn't deserve love. Requires supernatural assistance, the Holy Spirit. The supernatural assistance. And it is with His heart that we love others. It is with His power that we are able to love others. Pope John Paul said Jesus Christ taught that man not only receives and experiences the mercy of God, but that he is also called to practice mercy toward others. So you see, this idea of loving your neighbor that Jesus talked about in the gospel today includes everyone you come across, even those who don't believe the way you do. Maybe they aren't Christians. Maybe they don't look like you. Maybe they aren't nice people. Maybe they've done bad things. But this is at the heart of mercy. And this is a difficult thing. A lot of times we don't want to be nice to those people or to even love them. Okay? It says, forgive all injuries. It doesn't say that they're all just done away with or not right, or, you know, it doesn't just wipe that away and say what you did that was bad was not bad. It says they're forgiven. It says all.
Amen.
So loving your neighbor takes on this new dimension, this new difficulty, if you will, because this can be hard. Okay? And so that thing in the Catholic Encyclopedia that says drawn from the supernatural order becomes so important. Because in order to forgive all injuries, in order to bear wrongs patiently, you have to have the Holy Spirit and that love of God inside of you. You can say that this love that I'm talking about comes from God, doesn't it? It's a charismatic thing. In fact, I would put to you that love is a charismatic gift. We don't tend to lump that together. You know, we're the Charismatic Episcopal Church, and we've talked a lot about, you know, tongues and prophecy and miracles and healing and all of those sorts of things. But I'm going to put to you that love is a charismatic gift. Let me open that up for you a little bit. And if you wanted to, you could go to 1 Corinthians 12. For that. Now, this is our go-to place for talking about the charismatic gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul talks a lot about them, and it's pretty well laid out. But I want to go to verse 31, which is down at the very end of that chapter. And Paul says this, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way." And we go into chapter 13, and he says, "If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." And so he goes on in chapter 13 and talks about love. And then at the end of chapter 13, verse 13, he says this: "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love." What you heard in the collect today said charity, but we're talking about love here. Okay? "The greatest of these is love," is what Paul says right there in chapter 13, verse 13. Paul is talking about the spiritual gifts in these things, okay? He's talking about how prophecy works. He's talking about how love works. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. You've heard all this. You know what I'm talking about. But then he ends this with, "Yet these three remain." These three what? Spiritual gifts. Faith, hope, and love. The greater gifts. In fact, love is one of the greater gifts that God gives us in the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is the greatest. He says so. And out of them flow all those other gifts. Prophecy, healing, tongues, all those other things. That's why if you don't have love, you're a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. If you want to love the way God loves, you have to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you want to forgive the way God forgives, you have to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you want to show mercy, you must have the Holy Spirit's mercy inside of you. It says to forgive, to be merciful is to forgive them all sins, even when they don't deserve it. How do you forgive a Hitler or a serial killer or an ISIS leader? Well, perhaps only through the Holy Spirit is this possible. Human love is not able to do these things. But as we know, with all things, or in God, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
You see, this is what Jesus is talking about in the greatest commandments here. Love God and love your neighbor. And he is the one who empowers you to love, just like he is the one who empowers you to do these other charismatic gifts that we talked about. You don't love out of a purely humanitarian basis, or put otherwise, in your own power, in order to work your way into heaven or secure your eternal salvation. That's the wrong mindset. You love with God's heart through his Holy Spirit in order to change the world. This is selfless love I'm talking about. This unconditional love I'm talking about. Not what you did last week kind of thing. It's total love. Put another way, a love that has nothing to do with how you act or what you've done or who you are. So you see, if you have someone you just can't forgive, it's not possible. If you're having trouble letting go of something, that's understandable. It's human. Okay? The power is not within you. It's natural. But you have, as Christians, as children of Jesus Christ, you have supernatural power to draw on. You have the charismatic gift of love, the greatest gift. You see, God has already forgiven that person. God has forgiven you too. When somebody does something that makes you angry, like the driver with me, you know, you have to draw on the Spirit inside of you, the Spirit that goes beyond human understanding in order to forgive. A Spirit that goes beyond our desire for retribution or vengeance or spite, whatever. And this is where you'll find that special ability to forgive, to show mercy. Ah, this is what mercy is. See, when you minister to someone, either at the soup kitchen or on the street or wherever God's put you, you call on the Holy Spirit to manifest his love in you. In this way, you will show mercy. You will do the spiritual and corporal works of mercy the right way. You'll be able to love anyone. And in your personal life, this should be a powerful reminder to you of how much God loves you. Because in your own power and strivings, you don't deserve his love either. I don't deserve his love either. And yet he has given us mercy, shown forgiveness, wiped it all away. Whatever you've done, if you've confessed it, if you've asked for God's forgiveness, you have what they call blessed assurance that it's forgiven and forgotten forever. That's a wonderful thing. He has forgiven you. He has shown you mercy. Now go and do the same. So I preached a few weeks ago about the spiritual battle. I was, you know, in the midst of that myself, you know. And I'm, among the weapons that we wield in the battle are forgiveness and mercy. The enemy has no defense against them. If you wield these weapons, Satan can do nothing. So what he tries to do is keep you from wielding them, keep you from using them. He will try to build up the resentment in you. He'll keep you angry feelings going. He'll disrupt communication between the parties. He'll keep the fight going as best he can. But if one party just cuts through all that stuff and forgives unconditionally, showing mercy, the enemy can do nothing. The battle is won. That's why this is so important. In the spiritual battle. That is why this idea, this concept of mercy is so important. This is why Jesus said the second commandment was like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you will do this, you will win the spiritual battle. If I will do this when I'm driving in traffic, I'll win the battle.
Oh, yeah.
When you talk to your friend who's hurt you and you show mercy, you will win the battle. If you feed the hungry, in the love of the Holy Spirit, you will win the battle. You will be able to forgive all injuries, like it says up there. You'll be able to bear wrongs patiently. If we all did this, I'm talking about all in the big church sea, all, we would change the world. We would win the battle. This weapon is that powerful. I guess that's why the sisters took up mercy. Sisters of mercy. That's what mercy is. And that's why we're called to practice it. Every day in our lives. We received it. We give it out. But mercy can be a hard thing. It can be difficult to do this. And in our human natural state, it can be impossible to do. That's why we have the charismatic gift of love, the greatest gift that he's given you, that Holy Spirit inside of you. What a blessing. What a blessing you are. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And David, yes, I'm sorry, that even includes clowns. Amen.